May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one that we lift our heads to this day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Say that prayer with me. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's our Advent prayer. How many of you have put up your Christmas tree? Simple question. Looks like most of you had. And the Christmas tree, of course, is what type of tree? Typically an evergreen tree. And it's the evergreen tree with all its decorations, be it real or artificial, the lights and all the other ornaments. It's a great symbol of Jesus. Because in Jesus, in the cross, a great symbol of the cross, which is the real tree we focus on, we have everlasting life. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the Holy Spirit. All those are our decorations, if you will. The evergreen tree, a symbol of Christ Jesus, everlasting life, the cross. Now, I am suggesting today a new idea, radical new idea. No stones, Mr. Hines, okay? I realize we hear the word new in the Lutheran church, and what do? Oh, no, what's happening? Just an idea, a suggestion. We need to put up another Christmas tree. I know you're thinking, I don't have room, Pastor. Well, another Christmas tree for us to consider. Not an evergreen tree. But we need a Christmas tree for the church. The evergreen tree is for Jesus, rightly so. Put one up as a great tradition. But then we need a tree for the church. Do you know what tree I'm thinking of? If you listened well to your readings, you just might figure it out. But I know you guys often don't listen well to the readings, so you may not figure it out. It's tucked away in this beautiful Old Testament reading. Isaiah 61, we have this prophecy of the work of Jesus, bringing good news, bringing the oil of gladness, joy. We're going to be like a bridegroom waiting for her husband. There's such joy, a wedding between us and Jesus. This great prophecy of the work of Jesus. And tucked in there, the church is called the tree. And that struck me. You know what tree it is? It's the oak tree. And speaking, Isaiah speaks about all this work of Jesus. Then he says, that they may be called, that's us, we are the they, that's the Christians, the believers, the baptized, they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So I suggest we all put up an oak tree. Now don't go cut down an oak tree, you might get arrested for that, and rightly so. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe find an oak tree. Who has an oak tree in their yard or somewhere close? Maybe go decorate that oak tree. Don't tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Okay, that's another time. Put lights on that oak tree, decorations. That's for the church. Your Christmas tree for Jesus, your oak tree for the church. For we shall be called oaks of righteousness. What does the Lord mean by this? You are a beautiful grove of oaks, First Lutheran. What is he teaching the church by calling us oaks of righteousness? In Isaiah's day, you'd see an oak tree, and there are oak trees all over the land of Palestine. There are perhaps three things you would think of that all have a message for the church, for you and I. First of all, in Isaiah's day, the oak tree was a symbol of sin. It really was a symbol of wickedness, of idolatry. Isaiah lived around 750 B.C. The nation of Israel, if you know your history, had split in half after Solomon. The north and the south, and there are lots of problems, both fell into idolatry. The main sin is idolatry, worshiping other gods. And both the north and the south worshiped other gods, especially Baal. Baal was the rain god who supposedly brought rain on the earth. And Asherah was his girlfriend, and she was the goddess of the earth. And when the rain hits the ground, crops grow. And that was pagan worship, Baal and Asherah. And the Israelites often worship Baal and Asherah along with the true God, which is terrible before God. He will share his glory with no one else. But guess where they often worshiped Baal and Asherah? Under an oak tree. The Bible says they go to the high places up on the hills somewhere, and that's where often the pagan sacrifices were, often around oak trees, probably because the oak tree is majestic, it's noticeable. Hey, we're going to worship under the oak tree over there. And it provides shade and a bit of privacy. So the oak tree was a place of pagan worship in the Old Testament. Think of an oak tree, you think of wickedness, evil, idolatry. But But note here, God says that when Jesus comes, the Messiah comes, the cross, the resurrection, the work of the Messiah will change us from being oaks of unrighteousness. Rightly so, we should be called oaks of unrighteousness, oaks of wickedness, oaks of sin. But because of Jesus, they will be called oaks of righteousness. If you're a Jewish person hearing this back then, what? Oaks of righteousness? Yes. That's what Jesus brings. In that little phrase, that title, oaks of righteousness, is all the work of Jesus. He takes the unrighteous person and makes them righteous. He takes the sinner and makes him or her a saint. He takes the one who is wicked and makes them wonderful in the eyes of God. Implied is the forgiveness of sins. Implied is all the grace and mercy of heaven. Implied is the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. It's all right here in this title. Implied is holy baptism. Because that's where God applies all that work. It's in baptism. That's why it ties into John the Baptist again today. Because in baptism, that's where God makes us righteous. In baptism, God refinishes the wood, if you will. We have John here. You're an expert in wood. Right, John? John, wake up. Come on. It's a sermon. Expert in wood. And I know you have to refinish wood sometimes, right? You and what's the other guy's name? Oh, Hunzi. Did a lot of this woodwork here, and others of you. I don't know much about woodwork, but sometimes you refinish it. You got to scrape off the old finish, right? And you scrape and scrape and scrub it away. And so in baptism, God uses water. The Holy Spirit is here. He scrubs away the wickedness, the evil, the sin, the unrighteousness. Then you put a new coat on, don't you, eventually? And then you might put another new coat on, make it look even better. And then maybe a little later, another new coat, and you got to refinish again. Refinishing is baptism. God scrubs away, scrapes away the sin, the unrighteousness from the oak, puts on a new coat of righteousness, a new coat of grace and forgiveness. And every time we have confession and absolution, it happens again. God puts on the coat of righteousness. Another coat for you that you glisten and sparkle in my eyes. Never take for granted we're called an oak of righteousness. Wow. What a powerful title for the church. There's none better. There's many beautiful titles. This is right up there at the top. You want to see a beautiful oak, a beautiful grove of trees, you don't have to wait for the dogwoods in the spring. They're beautiful here in Tennessee, the dogwoods. You don't have to wait till spring. You don't have to drive out to see the redwoods. Where are they at? California? The sequoias, wherever they're out, California. You don't want to go to California anyway, do we? California is a great state. You don't have to go everywhere to see beautiful trees. We are beautiful trees. We are righteous. We are pure. We are holy, forgiven of our sins because of Jesus. And so we rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have great joy because we're righteous. The blood of Jesus. Secondly, the oak tree was a symbol of strength. As we all know, oak trees are strong trees. They're immovable, largely. They take on the weather and they survive often. Oak trees. Tough, strong, durable trees. Sturdy trees. Immovable. And so a lesson here from the Lord is not only will He refinish us, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, we're righteous. Also here, give us power and strength. Give us the Holy Spirit. And that happens in baptism. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, John says. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, we have power and strength to stand up for God. To be immovable in this world. To be strong. Not to compromise. Not to be wishy-washy. To stand up for the truth. First of all, the truth of sin. We're all sinners. And then salvation in Jesus. We never compromise any of that. John the Baptist is a great example of an oak of righteousness. When I think of an oak of righteousness, John the Baptist, what a great oak tree he is. He is strong. He stands fast. He dies for the truth, thrown in prison, and gets his head cut off by Herod. But whether John is preaching to Herod, the king, or the Pharisees, whether he's preaching to the lowly people, whoever he's preaching to, it's the same message. You're a sinner. Repent. Be baptized and be washed and cleansed. For the one coming is mightier than me. His name is Jesus. He will die for your sins and rise again. It's always sin, salvation, heaven, hell. That's the message of the Christian and the church. We are immovable in that. We don't compromise that. We teach that and proclaim that. Be an oak. Be strong, church. You know, there's a temptation Advent is a temptation that we be a weeping willow. Are you really a weeping willow? Poor me. Life is so bad for me. It's pathetic. There's a time to cry. Yes, we cry. It's okay to cry and weep. But then there's a time to get over it. Okay? There's a time to get over it. You're a child of God. You're forgiven of your sins. You have eternal life. Is life that bad? No one wants to hang around too long with a weeping willow. Don't fall into self-pity this season. Self-pity is as bad as self-righteousness. Because in self-pity, you deny the fact that you're God's child. And that God loves me and will help me. Why am I so down all the time? Why do I weep and cry so much when I'm a child of a living God? I can take on losing my job, having cancer, being sick. I can take on anything because I'm a child of God. God will be with me. We could also, if we're very tempted this season, to be a crabapple tree. You a crabapple tree? Grumpy, crabby. That was me yesterday when Ann said, let's go to Target and shop. All right? Grumpy and crabby. I'll stay out in the car and practice my sermon, okay? again, what kind of witness are we when we're grumpy and complain and just crabby all the time? No one wants to be around you. We're not a witness. We ought to be content people. The pink candle stands for what? Joy. Doesn't stand for complaining and grumbling. Joy because I have Jesus. I'm already forgiven. Don't be a Bradford pear. Now, you all know Bradford pears are pretty, but they have a big head, don't they? They always get really, really big on top, and they break off because the head's too big for the trunk. You can get big-headed. John the Baptist was tempted to get big-headed. Notice how he is so humble. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. All right, I'm not the prophet who is the Messiah. I'm not any of that. I'm just a lowly, lowly voice out here in the wilderness. Very easy of us to get big-headed. I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. You know, Santa Claus should come to me and Jesus come to me too because I'm so good. Nobody wants to hang around an arrogant, egotistical person who always thinks they're better than everybody else. Humility is called for in this season. You know, I was been asked this week several times this question. I guess I'm an expert in football. Do you think that Alabama really should play LSU for the national title? I had the guy from Weigel's ask me that question. Do you think that Alabama should play LSU for the national title? I said, I don't care. I think Notre Dame should be in the national title game, okay? Who should play in the title game? I don't care. By the way, I just heard Indiana beat Kentucky in basketball yesterday. That's what counts here. Come on. You know, you guys lost to Kentucky in football. Our basketball team beat them in basketball. I think our basketball team is better than your football team. There you go. You know, we got to stand firm as Oaks and tell people the real battle. We got to be honest with people and say, here's the real battle. The battle is not against terrorism. The battle isn't against the Republicans if you're a Democrat or the Democrats if you're a Republican. The battle is not cancer, as bad as it is, much as it hurts. The battle is not a bad economy. The battle is sin. That's the enemy. Sin, death, and the devil. Repent. And there's one way out. There's one cure. There's one Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. Believe and be baptized. That's standing firm. Sin and Savior. Finally, the oak is a symbol of value. It's a symbol of worth. We all know that oak is expensive wood, right, John? My wood expert? Oak is good wood. Maybe not the best wood, I don't know, but back in that day, oak was not cheap. Oak was regarded as good wood. And in our day, you go get a piece of furniture that's totally oak, solid oak, that's a good piece of furniture normally. Solid oak. We look for that sometimes when we look for furniture. Expensive. And so when God calls us oaks, you see, He is saying how valuable we are to Him. We are not firewood. We're not sticks. He wants to burn up. Invaluable. We are oak trees. We're valuable to Him. We're special to Him. Last week I learned of a wonderful gift that Ann and I are getting for Christmas. Made me feel special. Bethany, our dear daughter now, she got us tickets. Guess where she got us tickets to? All right, not a ball game. I know you're thinking a ball game. What ball game, Pastor? She got us tickets to Les Miserables. See, I'm a cultured man. It's not just food and sports. But who likes Les Miserables? Come on. I love that. Is it a musical play, whatever they call it? It's great. Jean Valjean. I've seen it before. All that chanting there and singing. And two tickets to that, that's spectacular. Better than going to any ball game over here. We can't beat Austin Peay, can we? Makes you feel special. Makes you feel valuable. I know I already am special, my daughter, but you're special. You're valuable. You're worth something. You know, we say it's the thought that counts at Christmas. That's a bunch of baloney. We all know it. It's not the thought that counts. It's the gift that counts. Because the gift shows how much thought you put into it, doesn't it? God didn't just think of giving us salvation. If he only thought about it, we're going to hell. God gave a gift. His only beloved son in a manger who died on a cross and rose again. We have an early Christmas present today. We ought to feel special. We get Jesus' body and his blood, the forgiveness of sins here today. Our early Christmas present here today as we commune. You're nobody out there. You're somebody in here. You're nobody at work. You're somebody to God. You're nobody to your family. You're just a peon in your family. You're somebody to God. All the angels know your name. They rejoice when you were baptized. You're a somebody. The apple of God's eye. Special, significant, because he gave Jesus who has delivered you. The evergreen tree, a great symbol of Jesus, the cross. The oak tree, I suggest, a great symbol of the church. You, First Lutheran, are a beautiful, gorgeous, righteous grove of oaks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.